Sadakois, listeners. We end the Formula One season in steamy South America for round 20 in the urban jungle of Sao Paulo for the Grand Prix of Brazil. This heavily populated city of 19 million is known for its crime rate, unreliable weather, and for providing exciting year-ending and championship-deciding events. Interlagos is the name we call the circuit Autódromo José Carlos Pace, in which F1 Grand Prix have been held since 1973. This track is no stroll on the beach at Ipanema. It's old, bumpy, runs anti-clockwise, built on a hilly terrain with the projects looming right outside the fence. And the left, right, left of the Senna S's are as difficult to maneuver as it is to get safely through the city. For both, you've got to go full throttle. The Drivers' Championship will be decided here, at the end. Vying for his third consecutive Drivers' Championship, Vettel is 13 points ahead of Alonso, but his luck's been backsliding a bit, and he's actually had to work for it lately. His rival Fernando has been on the podium 12 times this year, more than anyone else. Red Bull Racing has already secured the Constructors' Championship with their chassis design by Uber geek Adrian Newey. Lately, though, McLaren has been in an upswing. However, this is Lewis's last race with the team that helped raise him from a lad. We also bid Auf Wiedersehen to seven-time world champion Uncle Michael Schumacher, who is hanging up his balaclava for good. And up and down the grid, there are many drivers who are racing for the last time for their team or in F1. Lastly, the changeable Sampa weather may play a part in the dramatic finale as we watch the F1 Carnival unfold. Who will be the boss, Anova, doing the winter samba? And who will close the season somber? Em todos vocês, o vicente, este Desiree. And this is your F1 Weekly Brazilian Grand Prix Racecast. Adios. And if anyone from NBC Sports is listening, feel free to inquire about my services through the host of the program.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 610, November 30th, 2012. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Engelbert Humperdinck singing Blue Spanish Eyes, Teardrops Are Falling in Palatial Studios. Back to the host.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, are we tired of Sebastian Vettel yet? Force India's Bob Fernley claims we were playing Le NASCAR, also known as Phantom Debris. And Fernando may have to wait until 2014 to even have a chance at all this. And we've got Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi with special interview Max Verstappen. I think that's fairly self-explanatory. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you. For some reason that I'm not aware of, you look 10 years older since last week.
Exactly.
What has happened in those 7 days? That's what I want to know.
Tears, just thinking about what could have been.
Could have been, should have been.
Yep. Belgium, Japan, Grosjean.
You think Bruno Senna does not know? Do you think he cannot be a good fighter pilot?
I think he can.
How to shoot down somebody.
Absolutely. He's a professional. Unbelievable end to the season. And we'll talk about the race, of course. But now it just seems so long ago. Fernando, what's happened?
Man, first we had 2007, an unbelievable finish in Brazil. Then we had 2008, which was unbelievable. I mean, for 1 minute after the end of the race, I was still not sure who won the championship.
Yes, I mean...
Then we had the Abu Dhabi Yas Marina.
Unbelievable.
So, and now we have another. But I have to say, he is definitely, for me, driver of the year, Nando. The way he brought that car, I mean, you know, it's unbelievable.
But see, driver of the year, everybody's talking about how wonderful Fernando did. And I think Fernando is starting to feel like Kimi Raikkonen. I don't care.
Well, you know,
the championship.
No matter how much love you show him, and he does not need any love now that he has this wonderful looking Russian Davushka at the races with him. But record books will show 2012 world champion Sebastian Vettel.
Correct.
So that's he's going to carry that. And you know, you're saying 2014. Who knows? I'm hoping that Honda comes back with McLaren with a turbocharged Honda power and blow everybody away like they did in their halcyon days at McLaren.
I don't want to see McLaren blowing everybody away.
You don't want to see Sergio Perez winning and doing
That's not going to happen. All I know is Adrian Newey is still at Red Bull. Sebastian Vettel is still at Red Bull. One of the best number two drivers in the world, Mark Webber, is still at Red Bull. The rules really don't change very much next year.
Yeah, and you're forgetting the most important part.
My favorite part?
Renault engines.
Les Châteaux de la France.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I say unless they come up with a fantastic new designer, I just don't see what Ferrari can do against the likes of Red Bull and Adrian Newey and Vettel. The more you read about this wonderful symbiotic relationship between the driving and the mind of Adrian Newey, the more it seems impossible to beat.
You know what is scary? At the age he won his third world championship, which is only one of three drivers, Michael Schumacher at his age had zero championship.
That's true. I understand.
I'm telling you, that is scary.
But Michael Schumacher, it took him a couple of years to get Adrian Newey and Flavio on board. And, of course, the great team at Benetton went on to go to Ferrari. But no, you're right. This is all happening so quickly for this young man.
Yeah, if this kid, and he's not winning because everybody else's car broke down. I mean, if you look at his first world championship, I mean, I was having dinner with one of my friends who's a very diehard McLaren fan, and he was talking about, I think it was the Chinese Grand Prix, where had Red Bull allowed Sebastian Vettel to let Mark Webber pass, he would have become world champion. But, you know, he came from nowhere to win that championship. Last year, he utterly dominated. And this year, I mean, once he went to South Asia and had a taste of Singapore firecrackers and Mongolian beef, but then he was on fire.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but that's when the exhaust upgrades to increase the downforce on the rear end that suited Sebastian Vettel's beautiful driving style, that's when it all gelled.
Yeah. What I'm, you know, you have to have the best package to win. But the way I'm looking at it, by the time this kid is 30 years old, which is another 5 years, he may have six world championships.
Very possible.
And then he's got the decade in his 30s.
Yeah, and hopefully during those championships, there'll be more German drivers that just park their car and let them go by. Like Herr Schumacher. Boy, did he put up a big fight, didn't he?
You know, it's amazing about It's amazing about drivers from Germany that up until Schumacher showed up, I mean, there was just a couple of them who had won races, won trips a few. Jochen Mass only won, for which he got half points. Really, Hans Joachim was on the podium a couple of times. But since Michael Schumacher has come on board, it's just like a freight train. I mean, look at the performance from Nico Hülkenberg.
That's very, very true. For a minute there,
yeah,
you know, wisps of him in the Williams back in the day.
Yeah, he's flying straight to Seattle and Idaho because he needs a lot of paper, you know, Kleenex.
He does. Yeah. Well, especially after the Phantom debris,
yeah,
which was fascinating. And it's interesting how some of these drivers, they do a little chit-chat on the radio. And boy, Charlie Whiting just falls for it right away. Oh, safety car. Vettel saw a Coke can on the freeway. That was pretty bad, the first safety car.
Well, once again, Kimi Raikkonen saved the day.
That was beautiful, too. And you know,
have you seen on the web now that
it's all over the place.
Have you seen the web, the Apple's new ad with Kimi?
No.
Which they have put on the web on Facebook, which I'm sure it's, you know, Photoshop and all that. They're showing the video and, you know, taking his leave me alone and all that. They've put together a nice ad. It's just on Facebook. Check it out.
That's good. I'm happy for Kimi. Everybody's so happy. But I'm not that happy, Nasser.
I know, but
I haven't worn makeup all week.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I'm distraught.
Yes.
But anyway.
Well, just stay away from Golden Gate Bridge. That's all I ask.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But still, let's talk about the race. The misty rain was significant. Really sort of bizarre. Not rain, but real rain. But it was there. You had intermediates. You had people staying out on slicks. Very interesting race. I was hoping it would rain, but it didn't rain. But in the end, great start for Lewis Hamilton.
You know, just briefly, it was a McLaren all-front row.
Yes, it was.
For the 62nd time, which is an all-time record. And, you know, poor Senna won his final race with McLaren. I was really hoping for Lewis Hamilton to go out as a winner at McLaren.
Really?
I think this guy is coming back at McLaren in a few years.
You believe that?
I think so.
I don't think so. I think Mercedes will come up to speed pretty quickly. Ross Brawn is sort of a smart guy.
Yeah, but, you know, if he goes a couple of years and Sergio Perez has 5 wins and he is looking for his first, you know, he's going to say, oh, maybe I made a mistake.
It's possible, but in the end, it's all about the bling.
Yeah.
And he'll have the bigger watches, the nicer Mercedes. He'll have the girls in Los Angeles, and he'll be going, what's up? In the end, you know, he's had a bunch of wins. Now he's just all about money and checks.
No, the guy's a tremendous racer.
And, he is a tremendous racer.
So we'll see what happens.
But we have to make choices, too.
Yeah, and you have to sleep in the bed, you may.
Absolutely.
And in his case, it's very cozy these days.
It is very cozy. Anyway, let's go to the start of the race. Great start for Lewis Hamilton. Unbelievable. As he took the lead immediately from pole position, chopping across and leaving Jenson Button down the inside of turn one. Felipe Massa, both Ferraris, quick off the line. Alonso immediately passed Nico Hülkenberg, your hero from Germania. And Force India trying his patented outside turn, one move on the Red Bulls. And Alonso was doing, once again, what he needs to do. This is what's impressive about Fernando Alonso. And maybe he will be driver of the year. But certainly, pretty quickly, he's exactly where he needs to be in the race.
Which was expected before the race even started.
But that's, and you know, that's what's so steady about Fernando. Very diligent. And he does what he's expected to do by his team, by his papito, by his babushka. It's very impressive. And of course, the big and unbelievable spin by Sebastian Vettel had the whole Ferrari contingency, including Italia as a country, believing that Fernando has got this one in the bag.
Well, what I want to know is from you, Mr. Rogers, in the world feed, when it shows the helmet cam, over the cam, you can see his helmet and you know it was Sebastian Vettel. What was your instant reaction?
I couldn't believe it, and I thought the gods have finally smiled down on Oviedo.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. It's over.
I really did. I mean, I thought this is it. Unbelievable. I thought, it's done. Fernando is where he needs to be. And really, even before the race started, in reality, we all knew that the only way Fernando Alonso can win this championship is if Sebastian Vettel had a DNF.
Yeah.
It's the only possible way. Otherwise, if he has a car that's running even if he starts last, he's going to make those places up.
Sure.
And the odds were against Fernando all the way. But just for a brief moment, he was world champion in my eyes.
Well, and we kept saying it would be, you know, decided by Pastor or Romain Grosjean.
True.
It was not Pastor, but it was a Williams.
It was a Williams, and it was exciting.
I really thought it was over, and even when he spun his car around, you know, turned around and he started going, I figured, you know, when you have such kind of contact, I figured the damage will take its toll sooner or later. And these things normally, you know, when the championship is at stake, they normally happen in the last two, three laps.
Absolutely. And, of course, Sergio Perez was involved in this, and he was out as well. Fascinating, fascinating. But then, lo and behold, on lap two, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel with a 1-2-1-3. And that's when I said, oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. It's all a script. They all did this on purpose to make the audience believe and then watch us
suffer.
Exactly. It was suffering. I couldn't believe it. Lap five, Fernando Alonso, he loses it, goes wide. Nico Hülkenberg goes to P3. And this is when it gets pretty exciting. And of course, we've got the intermediates. We've got tire changes coming up. And this rain is unbelievable. It's not rain. We don't know what it is. It's some kind of mist coming in from Sao Paulo. And it was very confusing to the teams. I thought full rain was coming. Lap six, Fernando Alonso is in P4. Kimi Raikkonen and Michael Schumacher pit. Kimi Raikkonen goes on enters. Romain Grosjean has a big crash on lap seven. Your friend.
Yeah, you know, there's now reports coming that he is on slippery slope at Lotus. You know, I was reading a news item on one of the websites. They're saying that Gerard Lopez, the head of Jenny Capital, will try to convince your company, Total, to take somebody else. Because part of the problem Total is running, apparently they have a big road safety campaign going on in Viva la France. And they can't use one of the drivers they are sponsoring. Because he is the Swiss. I think what's going to happen, if he gets dropped by Renault, a Lotus, he's going to go back to becoming a Swiss driver.
Very possible. Very possible.
Yeah,
or a Swiss banker.
Yeah, as a French Grand Prix winner, who I will not name here, said to me one day, Romain Grosjean is not French. Bruno Michel wants him to be French. That's when they were trying to bring him to the system. When I started following his career, I used to go hit a very nice website in French and English. For sure, he was Swiss. And this guy who's racing in IndyCar Racing from your country, I don't remember his name right now. He has raced against
Romain
Grosjean. He told me that when I was racing against him in Formula Renault, he was Swiss. But, you know, these are not important things in this day and age.
Simple technicalities.
Exactly.
Anyway, Jenson Button passes Lewis Hamilton on lap 7. Very impressive. On lap 8, Sebastian Vettel is now up to P8 already. It's over.
Yeah, that was over.
For me, it was over. I knew there was nothing that could happen. Even the damage on the car by now would have caused some kind of an issue, and it hasn't. Of course, the exhaust was a bit dented in, and there were some barge boards broken. But in the end, the car was still in pretty good condition.
Yeah, but you know, these things are so, so high performance, high tech, that if their integrity is compromised, it can affect the performance quite a bit, you know. I mean, it's just like if you're a hot-looking chick, the finest steakhouse is closed. You just cannot drive through a jack-in-the-box. It's not going to work. But it's amazing, you know, he gets hit, gets turned around. What would really surprise me, that he did not stall. Because
that's true.
Yeah. So talk about karma. And it's amazing that he gets hit at a pretty high speed. He keeps on going, and Lewis Hamilton a few years earlier runs over curbs, and that messes up the, you know, electronics, and they shut down the gearbox or whatever it was. So when it's every dog has its day, now we know a bull has its day also.
Exactly, a big red bull. Lap 11, Fernando Alonso pits, Lewis Hamilton pits, Sebastian Vettel pits, and inters now are beginning to look like it's a mistake. Lap 12, Fernando Alonso is down to P12. I'm suffering. Lap 15, Mark Webber is working his way back up through the field. And what's amazing is Nico Hülkenberg, your dude, is all over the back of Jenson Button.
I'll tell you one thing, that my reference point for Nico Hülkenberg, just like Romain Grosjean, he has won a championship in every series he has competed before getting to Formula One. So that, you know, speaks very well. But I will never forget the race he had in the rain at Sepang. And you know what? It rains in Malaysia. It rains buckets. And how he was racing away. And they used to have good driver, Alexander Prema, Neil Jani. Jos Verstappen used to be there. And he just ran away from everybody. So I just had a very strong inkling that one day if he can get into a swing of things and he survives the first corner, because he's had some issues like Romain Grosjean, that this guy will, you know, turn some heads.
Absolutely. And the key to this race right now is Jenson Button didn't pit, stayed on the slick tires, and so did Nico Hülkenberg, while everybody was panicking and went with the inters, which was a big mistake.
This was a tailor-made race for Jenson Button, the Mr. Smooth Operator.
Smooth Operator. I understand, Nasser. There's always something in the air. Nick Heidfeld, can you believe that?
Well, I mean, you must be suffering.
I am suffering.
What's next? Juan Pablo Montoya?
It could be Juan Pablo Montoya, but still, I had problems with Paul DiResta and Pedro de la Rosa, but unfortunately, my abbreviations, especially when I lose the championship, go retro, and so NH is no longer Hülkenberg, it becomes Nick Heidfeld, and I start thinking about Fisico, and bravo, bravo, bravo. So, I know, I have a problem, but Nico Hülkenberg takes the lead in the Brazilian Grand Prix. Pretty exciting stuff for Force India.
Oh, absolutely, and also the first time he was leading, because he didn't get to lead when he was on pole at Brazil some years ago.
Yeah, no, it was very exciting. Now, see, the other teams like Ferrari and McLaren, they're looking at this and going, these guys are on slick still. We've got some guys that are on inters. So you know what happens? Well, you know, now they have a new term that you didn't hear a couple years ago. It's this. Box, box, box. Everybody pits. Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, Kamui Kobayashi, Paul DiResta, Nico Rosberg. We don't really talk about Nico Rosberg that much in this race. And they all go back to slicks. Sebastian Vettel pits, Felipe Massa pits, Kimi Raikkonen pits, Mark Webber pits. There's a lot of pitting going on because they realize that slicks are the thing to go because the track is drying out, even though the inters looked to be the right thing to do because part of the track was still quite wet. But it was very exciting. And then there's photographs, you know, the camera is closing in on Sebastian Vettel's car where the damage is. And, you know, the commentators are giving the Fernando people a little hope by saying the damage is increasing. Pieces are coming off. And then the DNF chapel gets full again. People are praying on their knees. But it's not to be true.
They're all singing Ave Alonso.
That's very, very true. Maria has been shipped out to the back. But still, lap 21, puncture on Nico Rosberg. Fast lap of the race is Nico Hülkenberg with a 121.1. And then there's a safety car, Nasser. Phantom debris. What were your thoughts?
Well, there was some debris there. And, well, you know, the problem was it was also tricky conditions.
Tricky conditions. Yeah. It was tricky conditions.
You know what they say, slippery when wet. So I guess they had to do what they had to do.
You believe that? They could have had a double yellow and ran some people out there to pick up the debris without a safety car.
Well, you know, I totally agree with you. And also, I used to like when it was like that. I do not like safety cars. I do not like full course yellows unless there's a major. I mean, if there's a major accident, you might as well just throw the red flag. Do you remember when Ralph Schumacher crashed and going through the pit lane? It was silly, you know, just do a red flag and sort things out.
I know, exactly. So we have a safety car, Jenson Button. Nico Hülkenberg pits. He keeps the lead. Safety car for the next five laps. He comes in on lap 29. Kamui Kobayashi on 30 passes Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber. Lewis Hamilton passes Jenson Button for the lead. Kamui Kobayashi passes Fernando Alonso. Tears are flowing down my face. I can't handle it. It's brutal.
Did you cancel your tempura order?
The tempura order was canceled indeed. Kimi Raikkonen runs wide on lap 33. Fernando Alonso passes Kamui Kobayashi without incident. And Lap 34, Felipe Massa passes Sebastian Vettel. Very exciting stuff. Lap 38, Sebastian is still hanging in there. I don't see anything falling off this car. I think the championship is his. Paul De Rissa has a huge spin on lap 39. Almost takes out Kimi Raikkonen. Fernando Alonso has no chance of passing these three leaders up front. For me, it's over. You could tell that the champagne was beginning to bubble through the front doors of Red Bull.
No, I had my reservations that I was concerned that, you know, the damage will take its toll. And then, you know, what happened later in the race, which I'm sure you will bring it up,
you
was something I had an inkling. These things happen, you know, when there's too much tension, too much pressure.
And it's always these kind of folk.
Yeah. It's the usual suspects.
It's always the usual suspects. You don't see this happening with Fernando and Kimi Raikkonen. I don't know.
Jenson Button.
Yeah. This is bizarre, but yes, indeed, it does happen. On lap 50, Sebastian Vettel's radio seems to be not working. Nico Rosberg pits for inters because it's raining a little bit more. And it's getting very confusing. On lap 52, we hear it again. Box, box, box. Kimi Raikkonen goes off. Sebastian Vettel, he pits, goes with the medium compound. He comes back out in P10. Kimi Raikkonen pits on 54. And all of this during the front, Lewis Hamilton and Nico Hülkenberg are fighting for that number one position. They touch. There's laughter and giggling in the Palatial Studios, Nasser.
Well, you know, I think Nico Hülkenberg showed his inexperience.
They're trying to get around the Caterham, and that really was the fulcrum, because I thought the Caterham should have really gotten more out of the way, and there you have it.
Well, you know,
big crash.
Force India car had the speed, and you know, Nico Hülkenberg, I think, could have been a little bit more. It's easy to say this. Be a little bit more patient, and he would have passed Hamilton. You know, Hamilton is not an easy guy to pass, but those days are over where you can just block and do stuff like that. You know, actually, if a guy blocks you, it's even better for you. Chances are he's going to get a penalty. So I think he showed his inexperience, but it was very sad to see. You know, Force India has never won a race. Nico has never won a race.
Exactly.
And this would have been, it's one of those things. You're winning a race in treacherous condition against the Buttons and the Hamiltons and the Nandos of the world and Vettel. It's just like when Senna won his first race, it was against a host of drivers who were very, very experienced and very good. And there he was as a rookie win, I should say. But so I was hoping really for Nico Hülkenberg to. Plus, we want more German domination in motor racing anyway.
Yeah, not only that, but I thought the last race of the season, it would have been interesting to have another different winner. Really would have just brought the whole season to a close in an interesting fashion. But it wasn't to be, even though Nico was able to continue while the front suspension of Lewis Hamilton was broken. And his last race for McLaren was Kaputney. It was fascinating. Lap 55, after all this, Sebastian Vettel pits. It's a slow pit stop. There seems to be some confusion. They're not ready. It could be because the radio is not working. Maybe they didn't hear box, box, box. They hadn't had the tires. But anyway, they put the inters on, and Sebastian Vettel goes out. Fernando Alonso almost loses it on lap 56. He's losing concentration. They're whispering in his ear in Italian that the Pope is praying for him, but it's not working. He's losing it, and he can't take it anymore. The track seems to be getting wetter. Fernando Alonso pits on lap 56. He goes with the inters, comes out in P4, and a drive-through penalty for Nico Hülkenberg for his shenanigans with Lewis Hamilton. Lap 57, Jenson Button, De Resta, Hülkenberg, and Heikki Kovalainen all pit. Hülkenberg was actually taking his penalty, but everybody was pitting, so it looked like he was pitting. The rain is now getting heavy. Heikki Kovalainen goes on full wets for some reason. Fernando Alonso goes past Massa, believe it or not. Shocking, I know, but that's the way it is. Sebastian Vettel now is beginning to catch Michael Schumacher, who puts up a really, really big fight. Shocking, but I don't know. Some people thought that he might as well park the car.
Who worked harder in defending his position, Schumacher or Massa?
No, I mean, I don't know. I think they're both in the same club, aren't they? Yeah, the GPDA. So there you have it. Anyway, the team tells Sebastian Vettel to stay calm, stay put, don't do anything stupid. Lap 65, Fernando Alonso has done everything he needed to do. There was nothing more he could have done, Ness. He has reached the pinnacle of the Alonso-ness that we all know.
Well, you know, the way it was pretty obvious, even they were talking on this broadcast also, that Sebastian Vettel is being very cautious. And it was pretty obvious the way he was going that he was not taking unnecessary chances. And as this was happening, and shortly after the race, I was thinking, had Lewis driven like Sebastian Vettel in this race in 2007 in Brazil, he would be Formula One's only rookie world champion, apart from the first year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's amazing how small mistakes can bite you back, bite you so badly.
Yes, there's a lot of reflecting in Formula One.
And also Nando, you know, I mean, look at the near misses he has. They mentioned that he has now missed, he has now lost more championships in the final round than he has won. And this guy could be sitting on 5-6 championships too.
Yep, I agree. But c'est la vie.
That's why they're on the races, they say.
That's true. Keep up the good work, Nass. Anyway, Paul De Rista crashes on lap 70, and this race ends behind a caution, phantom debris. And sure enough, your friend from Kirpin is triple world champion.
No, that would be Michael Schumacher from Kirpin. This
guy, whatever, they're all from Heppenheim. One big happy family.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Kirpin. What's the other town he's from?
Heppenheim.
Heppenheim. Well, Kirpin is easier to remember, and I'm still thinking of Ferrari and Schumacher back in 1944.
Yeah.
So it was exciting.
Yeah, it was. It was, and I think Fernando Alonso was pretty graceful. You know,
pretty graceful. He was fantastic, gentleman of gentlemen. I mean, not only that, but both Ferraris were on the podium. You cannot put in a better performance.
Well, that was very good for his teammate Felipe Massa.
It was. Thank goodness for that. Both of them on the podium. Felipe Massa giggling with his people. Rubinho was there hanging out. So lots of number twos in the audience.
Did you like the interview conducted by Nelson Piquet?
Nelson Piquet Sr. was outstanding.
Well, when we say Nelson Piquet, it means the senior.
Well, you never know. Some people think if you're watching the truck series, there's some success there in the Piquet family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, Piquet Jr. going to Daytona.
So am I.
Yeah, so there you have it.
Yeah, we'll talk on this later.
Yes, of course, that'll be in the second portion of our program now, sir. But in the end, Jenson Button wins the Grand Prix for McLaren. Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, Mark Webber in fourth. Nico Hülkenberg, a good fifth after everything. Sebastian Vettel in sixth with the championship. Michael Schumacher protecting Vettel's derriere in seventh. And Jean-Éric Vergne, great ending for him. Kamui Kobayashi, his last race, gets into the points. Very exciting. And Kimi Raikkonen, not a great race for Kimi. Lots of trouble, dead-end streets. It was just, you know, back alleys. I don't know. Didn't know what he was doing. Sort of lost it there with the deodorant. You know, those deodorant ads.
He said they put the gate. It was not there last time he went there.
Yeah. So it was all very interesting. I really enjoyed it. It was a great season. And, of course, we will have a season review around Christmas time or, I don't know, whenever we can put it together because, you know, we are busy people.
Yeah, and victory, I think, is number 15 for Jenson Button. And he closes the season the way he started. Victory in Australia, and now victory in Brazil. So.
And it's interesting because when the season started, really, McLaren looked to be the team to beat this season.
Oh, yeah.
For the championship, for sure.
But, you know, this has happened many times. Competition catches up.
And they really fell apart. And it's funny because they started out as the fastest car, and pretty much I think they ended the season as possibly the fastest car.
Yeah, yeah.
But something happened in the middle there.
Yeah.
So, fascinating stuff. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Motorsports Mondial.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call, 850-421-8461, and tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair, right on the corner, right on the price, 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and end-of-season regards. What are you going to do now, Clark?
I don't know.
What will you do?
I'll just drive my Citroën around in my Renault and think about what could have been.
What could have been in Abu Dhabi? What could have been in Japan 2007? There are quite a few what could have been for you.
But we also have 2013.
Oh, yes.
So we'll see what kind of changes Ferrari makes.
You know what they say in German? Ein, zwei, drei, vier. Yeah. He's going four in a row.
I know, not this time.
You watch.
You want to bet?
Yes.
Fernando all the way.
One Jägermeister.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, what we're going to do is, you know, most of the motorsport series are over, and we don't fabricate stuff here. So I was spanning the web page to bring you the constant variety of motorsports. So I came across this thing on a Pit Pass. We're not trying to plug Pit Pass, but it is on Pit Pass, so I'll mention it. And I've just taken some of the information. There's a lot of information, and different people like different kind of stuff. So if they want to go and read this, this is about Pirelli, and they have come out with some, actually a lot of stats from this season, and I'll mention some of them. It's pretty interesting. And did you know, you probably know, the F1 tires are made in Turkey. Okay, the total number of tires provided by Pirelli for the season, 31,800. That's a lot of tires. And at the end, all of them were recycled, which is good. So it's a green company, even though they are all yellow. Of these, 22,500 were dry tires, 9,300 were wet tires. 6,600 tires were provided for testing. Average lifespan of a dry tire, 100 kilometers, which is just over, I would say, 110, 120 miles, something like that. Average lifespan of a wet tire, 140 kilometers, which is 80, 90 miles, something like that. So interesting. Longest race of the year, Malaysia, Malaysian Grand Prix, 2 hours and about 44 minutes. That's almost a NASCAR race. That ends early. Okay, shortest race, Silverstone, British Grand Prix, 1 hour and 25 minutes. And that's what I call a motor race. I remember some years, Monza race is over in 1 hour and 18 minutes. I like a sprint race. How about you? Do you like cars going around Formula One for hours and hours?
Days.
Really?
Yeah, endurance racing.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm.
Kobayashi had the most laps run on hard and wet tires, 798 and 104 respectively. Your man, Raikkonen, had the most laps run on super soft, 237. Highest top, this was very interesting for me. Highest top speed reached by a P0 F1 tire was at Monza Colli, 248 kilometers per hour, which is about 154 miles per hour. The driver, no surprise, your favorite, Lewis Hamilton. Number of test tracks visited by Pirelli this year, 9, and this includes also, you know, private test tracks and this and that. Number of Pirelli staff traveling to each race, 52, which I thought was kind of low because they have, you know, people for each team. And I remember when I met this lady, Lee McKenzie, with BBC some years ago, they were bringing close to 50 people to each race to cover the Grand Prix.
Yeah, I have a question. This 154 miles an hour, you're meaning that's the average speed for the lap?
Yeah.
Correct. You have to be clear. I didn't understand.
Well, you know, always better to ask.
Thank you very much, sir. There are no stupid questions.
No. Okay, so any other questions you may have?
No, I'm clear now.
Okay, sir. Shall we go to our favorite, Happy Dos?
Happy Dos is wonderful.
Cousin Felipe Nasser will be racing in the Daytona 24 Hours next month, and Moi is planning to be there. It is the 50th edition of Daytona, so there will be a lot of media activity there. Daytona is the season opener for the Grand Am Series, owned by the France family of NASCAR fame and fortune and countless cautions. And there are reports that the series may also visit Bahrain in the near future. And this series, I'm really looking forward to it. In 2014, it's going to merge with American Le Mans. It's going to become a very powerful series where there will be a lot of... I won't be surprised if we see, you know, like four or five major manufacturers duking it out.
Yeah.
And it basically, like Indy Cars was in early 90s.
Now, apparently there's a contest right now to come up with a name for this new series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've already come up with one.
Which is?
Grandma.
Grandma? Well, it's not a bad idea because...
Thank you very much.
You know, Jan Magnussen is there and, you know, all the... We've seen Johnny Herbert there.
The vintages.
Yeah, the vintages.
Grandma.
Grandma, yeah.
Thank you.
American Le Mans, Grandma.
It's...
I think you should get it copyrighted.
Yeah, I've got Bernie on it.
Cool. Okay, Felipe Nasser is also switching teams in his GP2 campaign for 2013, going from French team Dams to Carlin Motorsports, which is a British team, and together they won the 2011 British F3 Championship. A Dutch team by the name of MP Motorsports will race in GP2 next year. They are taking the place of Italian Coloni team. And you know, the other day there was some news that there might be a sort of a GP2 Americas scene. We haven't heard anything more on this, but I'm sure something will come out in the next few weeks, whether it's going to happen or not.
It would be exciting.
Why do you say that?
Because I like GP2. It's a competitive series. It's very exciting. And now we have Circuit of the Americas. So international sounding, you know. So I think it would be a great series.
I think so, too. And they're planning to do races in Canada, South America. So it could be a very... I think what they should do to keep the cost very, very attractive, use one-year or two-year-old car, you know, and get engines from Nissan or Infiniti here. And they got to make this thing, you know, where you can do a season for $700,000, $800,000. That will make it... That will bring people from all over the world. So we shall see what happens. Now we move to Hape 3's, GP3. Two young drivers supported by Red Bull, Carlos Sainz Jr. and Russian Daniel Kvyat, will race in GP3 with MW Arden team. MW is for Mark Webber, and Arden International, or Arden, or whatever they are called, is owned by Christian Horner and his brother Gary. Dakar Rally. The South American adventure starts in January. Two past winners, Carlos Sainz Sr. and Nasser Al-Attiyah from Qatar, will take part in a Red Bull-supported program driving California-built buggies. I just have a feeling somehow Robbie Gordon is involved behind the scenes or whatever. Or at least taking them out on us.
I know one thing. Robbie Gordon will not be driving a Mini.
No, Mini is for girls.
Exactly.
WRC News. Norwegian Mads Orsberg will be the lead driver for M Sports team in 2013, and your favorite company, Citroën, is looking to try out a new driver in WRC, Robert Kubica.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting.
He's been very, very impressive when he was in the Rally de la Vallée du Var or something like that. And he did very well, mm-hmm. Almost would have won, but unfortunately crashed.
Once again?
Well, you know, Kimi Räikkönen crashed a lot.
Kimi Räikkönen crashed a lot?
In rallying.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Did you ever see a picture of him? There was like a sort of a aerial shot. he's standing all by himself in the vineyard and, you know, taking care of personal business. And the guy wrote a caption, something like, those grapes. Poor Kimi, you know. Okay, some Porsche Juniors news. The German manufacturer has selected two young drivers to the junior program, Alex Riberas from Spain and Connor De Filippi from Southern California. So good for this kid. I think he was in his third year of Star Mazda and did not win the championship. So this is a good way to go. MotoGP legends to team up in a Peugeot. Deal is in the works for Casey Stoner and Mick Doohan to race in the Bathurst 12 Hours next February driving a Peugeot. I had no idea they were selling Peugeots in Australia. This will be interesting to see how quick they can go on a real racer's track because that Mount Panorama circuit is fantastic.
Peugeots are popular everywhere now, sir, really? Except for America.
Yeah, I see them all over San Francisco.
Yeah, I think they're popular in Karachi as well.
Well, we used to have quite a few 504 and 404. 504 and 404s were very popular. I remember seeing once a 604 also, which used to be there.
That was the big one.
Big one, flagship.
Yeah.
All Pininfarina design. Very exciting. Beautiful. Very beautiful cars. Man, this is
good news.
Yeah, it is good news. Kind of, you know, sad what happened there. J.J. Lehto cleared of boat crash charges. On appeal, all charges have been dropped against the former Benetton and Sauber driver. As a judge has ruled, it cannot be proven he was at the wheel when the boat crashed, in which his friend was killed. Both men were under the serious influence of Finlandia when the accident happened in the wee hours of the morning. He's very lucky he survived.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things, it's sad what happened, and whether he's in jail or not, friend is not going to come back, so maybe this will put a closure to the sad case. Now we come to our news. You know, like there was this, I don't know, Shane Company. They used to do advertising on TV, probably still do. Now you have a friend in the diamond business.
Shane.
Is that Shane Company?
Yeah, that's quality.
Yeah. And
they buy their diamonds in cash.
Whoa, from Antwerp?
Exactly.
Good. So, you know, like just like them.
And Mumbai.
Oh, yeah, that's a big place for diamonds, too. So now we have a friend on the F1 grid also. Very pleased to hear that Esteban Gutierrez will be replacing compadre Sergio Perez at Sauber. And as you know, when you walked into the Palatial Studios, I was chatting with his PR manager, Mr. Marc Renaudos. It's good for him also. He used to go to some races. Now he's going to go to all the Formula One races. This is fantastic. And
this is our closest friend in Formula One, I believe.
This is the first person we've been following for many years who has made it to a Formula One.
So
great.
In another 10 years, we might have our foot in the door.
Yeah, I'm hoping five. Okay. But I'm hoping in 10 years we should know at least the grid fairly well.
Probably.
Yeah, because
whether we're welcome or not is a completely different story.
No, we won't be welcome, but we will be at least welcome to be told we're not welcome. You know, it's like thanks, but no thanks.
You mean denied?
Well, you know, it's a different feel. I'll tell you, I've seen this with Indy cars many years ago. Once you get at the top level, you are either in or you're just at the...
At the doorstep.
At the doorstep. It's like, you know, when we get these GP2 credentials, you know, it's fantastic. You can go to the media center, media parking, and then you can walk up right into the entrance of Paddock Club, and you can see Bernie and Nico Rosberg and this and that, but you just can't. It's like, you know, stab it with their steely knife, but they just can't kill the beast. But we have to overpower this F1 beast and somehow find a way, which in due course we will. We have a lot of young drivers, Felipe Nasr, Robin Friends, that we have been following for a few years. Hopefully one of them will at least take us in for one race.
Well, I was also thinking that we might have to start a young podcasters development program. So if it doesn't happen in our lifetime, the young podcasters behind us who take over the helm here at the studios.
Well, Desiree is only 19.
I mean, correct. Yeah. Just now legal.
Yeah, exactly. She and Christopher DeHardy. By the way, talking of Christopher,
congratulations.
He graduated. Congratulations.
Took him 16 years, but he finally did it.
Yeah, but he just turned 18, so you know.
I know. He started young.
Yeah, very true.
I understand. LSU is down, but he's up.
There you go. So it's like the stock and the bond relation. Beautiful. Okay, so, yeah, Esteban Gutierrez, you know, I'm very happy for him. This kid is very good. He did not have the season that we were expecting, his second season in GP2 this year, but he still finished third. He won three races, which is always good. Competition is very tough in GP2, as we all know, but he has success, championship success in GP3 against a lot of talented drivers, and he was all completely dominated Formula BMW in Europe. So I'm hoping this will work out. And as you and I were talking before the session started, the key when you get to Formula One is you must have the support of the team. I mean, if you're telling a driver to qualify 10th or you're out when he's putting on his helmet, that's not, you know, very inspiring. So let's hope it works out for him and he has a long, successful career. So maybe we can fly to Monterey and sit down and have a interview with a active Formula One driver.
And I have to mention, this time the in-flight burrito will be on him.
Oh, absolutely. And I want chimichanga, too. Okay, sir. What is interesting is that he will be teammate to Nico Hülkenberg. Okay, now, Nico Hülkenberg, we've interviewed him, I think, once. He is good friends with Lars Kaufmann, and we are good friends with Lars Kaufmann. So there is a chance that if Moa is in Germany, maybe we can use some contacts and get to him. But we'll see how it works out. But interestingly, when Nico Hülkenberg was rattling cages in F3 Euro Series in 2008, Esteban was doing the same in Formula BMW Europe, and now they will be teammates. And it's going to be a serious learning curve in a season for Esteban Gutierrez, but he has a good team. He has a good sponsor, Telmex, and I think Peter Sauber and Miss Monisha, they run a very nice Swiss Precision team that they will take it very seriously and try to help him as much. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's always on the driver to deliver. But I cannot wait to see him get as competitive in the second half of the season as Nico Hülkenberg did this year versus Paul Di Resta. You know, you have to rise up to the occasion. Okay, sir, Bottas replacing Bruno. William wasted no time in replacing Bruno Senna with Valtteri Bottas of Finlandia. Bottas is a cool kid with impressive credentials, winning the Formula Renault Euro Cup over Daniel Ricciardo, and I believe he also won the Masters of F3 2 years in a row. Last year, he won the GP3 championship. He is managed by Aces Management, which includes Didier Coton, who is helping Lewis Hamilton also, Mika Hakkinen, and Mr. Toto Wolff of Austria. His wife is the development driver for Williams F1 team.
Susie.
Yes, and she had to go through a very tough job interview.
That's what we heard.
Yeah, it was very tough.
It was very tough.
She had to talk to Patrick Head, Frank Williams, and, you know, Frank Durney. And she passed with flying colors. Okay. The battle is now on for the few remaining seats. Foot soldiers include Bruno Senna, fellow Brazilian Luiz Razia, who came in second in GP2. And I met him at Monza past September. Very, very friendly and nice kid. Comrade Petrov, Kamui Kobayashi, who has now launched a site to raise billions and billions of yens to stay in Formula One. This is something he should have done, you know, 6-8 months ago. And it's all in Japanese, but I hope he can come up with money. Max Chilton, whose papito owns Carlin Motorsport and is big cheese at Marussia's sponsor, Aeon Insurance. He's also trying to get the seat. Looks like Max Chilton will get the seat because of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's pretty quick, too. I mean, he's quick. There's no question about
it. Yeah. You know, let's not forget, a lot of these drivers will not get back into Formula One. Remember Adrian Sutil?
Adrian Sutil?
Exactly. Vitantonio Liuzzi. Remember him?
Scott Speed.
Remember him? So, yeah. They talk a long talk, a big talk about getting back in. But once you're out, right now we have so many young kids with sponsorship that are coming in, that it's even harder today than it ever has been.
Yeah. Kovi, Heikki Kovalainen, he wants a seat on his talent, and according to him, he has instructed his management company, IMG, not to bring money to the team. Kovalainen is ready to face the consequences, saying, "I am not going to go and kill myself." Well, that's nice to know. Same situation with you. Now, somewhere, Jaime Alguersuari is tweeting, and your friend you just mentioned, Adrian Sutil, is playing a tune that he will also be on the F1 grid next season. You know what happened with Sutil? He had a pretty good personal sponsor in Medion, the German computer company, laptop, whatever, you know, Gizmachis. And then they got bought out by Lenovo. So I don't know if Lenovo is going to say, hey, we will honor the contract or give you money or not. So he's on the sidelines. But he did, you know, a few races. For some reason, the kid was always very impressive in the rain. This I have to say.
It's those delicate finger on the ivories.
Yeah, but now it's, I think it's going to be very hard. We've seen, it's very hard to come back. Look at Romain Grosjean.
Thank you. That's going
to... Yeah, Romain Grosjean, you know, even showed decent speed. But I think all those crashes and crashing in the last race, it's, I mean, it's one of those things. They also manage, what's his name, Jerome D'Ambrosio. Nice guy, very nice guy. Had a nice chat with him some years ago. But he does not have the speed of Romain Grosjean. And actually, when he was racing in GP2, the team has sat him down for a couple of races and brought Romain Grosjean into the team. And that's, of course, never good for anybody. But going on Motorsports Mundial final segment, you remember this name, Jose Maria Lopez of USF?
Absolutely. He was supposed to be in Formula One with the backing of Ken Anderson and Peter Windsor, some of our favorite people.
Yeah, and this Argentine driver finished fifth in the race at San Luis, which is a fantastic track in Argentina. And this was enough to win him the TC 2000 Turismo Carretera 2000 Championship, which is the main Argentine tin top series. So our congratulations to Pachito. And I think this is the third time he has won this championship.
And good for him. I'm glad something has come good to Jose Maria Lopez. Argentina.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to actually Felipe Nasr's uncle one day. And he was telling me about when they were competing in Formula 3. You know, he has a racing team in Brazilian stock cars. And he told me about this Argentine kid, Mariano Werner. And he said to me, this guy was pure Formula 1 material, but just because did not have big money and backing, could not go. So that's the way motor racing is. It's like life. Not fair, but very exciting, and you got to do what you got to do.
Outstanding, Nas. Thanks for another outstanding and wonderful Motorsports Mondial. And of course, now, please introduce our interviewee, Mr. Max Verstappen.
Get the Max. We're not talking Kragen. We're talking Max Verstappen. This kid, man, father was a European karting champion. Mother, Sophie Kumpen, was a karting champion. And when she won the championship, I read, she beat names like Jarno Trulli and Giorgio Pantano, which is very, very impressive. Okay. And then, of course, Papa went to Formula One and has been in the news now and then. And Max is definitely one of the hottest young karting drivers in the world right now. And this conversation took place in Vegas, where he was there for the SCUSA National. A great event, and I had a great time there. And Vegas, not a bad city to visit, by the way. And I talked to Jos also, Jos the boss, a little bit. And he said the goal is to keep him in karting one more year, which would be 2013, and then bring him to motor racing. So my thanks to Max Verstappen, my thanks to Mr. James Trumpur for taking photographs and helping me out. And of course, many thanks to Max for his time. Please enjoy.
Okay, folks, I'm in Las Vegas with the next up-and-coming star from the Netherlands, Mr. Max Verstappen. Max, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good today. We are starting on pole, so we will see in the final what we can do.
Okay. How much are you enjoying Vegas so far?
Yeah, it's just really cool to be here and to have a race here as well. Just nice place.
Have you been to the US before?
Yeah, one or two times. One time a race in New Jersey and one time for holiday.
Okay. Now, mom and dad were both karting champions. Did you ever think of becoming anything other than a racing driver?
No, mainly from like when I was 3-4 years old. I grew up with go-karts, so it was just normal. I went to go-karts as well.
Your dad raced in Formula One. What is the best advice you have ever received from him regarding racing?
He just have a lot of experience, so he knows what can happen, and he explains me already like when I started at 4 years old, so it helps me.
Do you listen to him?
Yeah. At the end, now it's getting more difficult, but I still listen to him.
Okay, good.
You started the season with Intrepid Cards, and now you are racing Zanardi Cards. What led to change of teams?
In the beginning, also last year, Intrepid did a really good job in KF. That's why we made a decision to go there. But when we went there after a few races, we could see they had not, they had not enough money to continue, and they had some problems also with Praga. And I think it was better to go back to where I started.
Okay. Now, apart from Papa, who do you admire among Formula One drivers, past or present?
Alonso. I like Alonso because he doesn't have the best car, but he can still, like, when he qualified 7 or 8, he can still be on the podium.
Very true.
Okay, some years ago in Zuera, Spain, you won the pre-final and the final, and I understand both time you came from the back. So tell us about these two races, please.
It was just a bit tricky conditions as well because it rained a little bit in pre-final. It was a hard fight with like 4 or 5 drivers in the top. At the end, I could just stay in front, so that was good to win already the pre-final, also for the championship back then. And the final, the first few laps, I dropped back a lot. I think we had a little too low pressure in the beginning, but at the end, they start the fight again for the lead, and I could catch up and win.
Okay, you know, we all make mistakes in life. If you make a mistake in racing, or if you don't do well, does Jos, the boss, yell at you?
A little, but I think you need. I think at the end, you come out stronger.
Okay. Your favorite track in karting?
For me, it's La Conca, Sarno, and I think these are the two best tracks.
Among the drivers you have raced against, who do you think are very good competitors or good challengers?
I think my teammate Tiene, Felice Tiene, I think he's a good guy. He also has a lot of experience. And when you race with him, he knows what he does.
Okay. How does school fit in your racing life, and what is your favorite subject?
I don't really have a favorite subject, but I do private school, so when I arrive home, I can go to someone and teach me private. So now it's getting better. Before, when I was still on a normal school, it was not possible to do it.
When can we expect you in single-seaters?
For sure, next year I do one more year karting, and I think the year after I go to kart.
Okay. Is Daddy pretty much managing your career?
A little, but we're also talking with new people, and we will see what comes.
Okay, I'm sure Formula One is your focus and goal. Do you follow American racing scene like IndyCars and NASCAR?
Not as much, because it's also not so much on TV in Holland, but... it's just fun to watch, but I concentrate more on Formula One.
Now, tell us about Max Verstappen, the young man, not the race car driver. What kind of food you like? What other sports you enjoy? And, what's your hobby apart from motorsports?
Apart, I would like to do, mini bikes I like, but now it's getting more difficult because, every time I have, I put in go-karts. So, it's more go-karts than before it was mini bike.
Okay. Our program, we have a podcast which is listened by people all over the world, including your country. How about a message to everybody? Tell them about your website in English and Dutch, please.
Please follow www.verstappen.nl. I think, the people also there, they put a lot of effort in the website to keep it updated for me, so I appreciate that a lot.
How about in your language?
Volg alsjeblieft www.verstappen.nl en volg mijn resultaten.
Okay, thank you very much. Nice meeting you. Okay, all the best.
You too. Thank you.
Max, thanks for another wonderful moment with F1Weekly.com. So now we're going to go into a little forum activity, and I'm going to read the results of the F1 Weekly Forum Race Prediction Competition, Nasser. And after that, we'll do 50 words on the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Really?
Yeah. We're pumped up today. Now the season has ended, so two has the Forum Prediction Competition. It was close right up to the end, and unlike the on-track competition, any one of 5 or 6 people could have taken this championship. We had 18 forum members take part this year, and thanks to all of them for keeping up the entries, and a special thanks to Iceman for keeping me on my toes, posting his entries with a few seconds to spare. All you had to do was predict the pole, podium, fastest lap, and 10th place. Easy, you think? Well, in more than half the races, some were unable to score anything. And in Barcelona, only 5 of the 18 scored at all. I think this is a reflection of what an unpredictable season we've just witnessed. So the final podium looks like this. In 3rd place is the forum's spreadsheet guru, Chemix, with 73 points. 2nd goes to the man from Munster, Kahesin, with 81 points. And on top of the podium is our resident Cougar expert, Leon Bray, with 82 points. Congratulations, Leon, for sticking through and taking the overall win. Congratulations also goes to Chemix for the highest individual race score of 21 for the Indian Grand Prix, which was a fastest lap away from a perfect prediction. There were too many nil points to hand out any wooden spoons for ducks, but at some stage during the season, everyone scored a highest, except Raythump. So if there is a wooden spoon, Dave takes it. On average, the highest scoring race was India, with a mean score of 7.78. And surprisingly, the second highest was the United States of America on 7.72. The lowest scoring race was Barcelona, averaging 0.5, but then I guess no one saw that pole and win coming. I hope everyone enjoyed playing. Come visit us on the forum. That's from Pita, also known as Yay. Okay, now, Nass, we're going to take turns, and we're going to read 50 words on the beautiful and final race of the 2012 season, Brazil. I'll begin from Miguel. An exciting end to an exciting season. Spins and spills, rain and tears, a safety caution, and a PK on the podium. Brazil pulled out all the stops to bring the season to a great close. In the end, the best finger won. Hülkenberg almost created a surprise, and Alonso took it all with dignity.
Lap traffic. Brazil does not disappoint. Hülkenberg goes from hero to zero in a heartbeat. Alonso does everything he can possibly do, including paying off Senna to take out Vettel on lap one, but it is not enough. Vettel will not be denied his place in history. Here's hoping that Ferrari can figure out how to make a decent car next year and Red Bull can get the competition it deserves.
Leon Bray, a great way to end the season. Hopefully the young guys will learn to stop running into other cars. Looks like Nasser was right about Hülkenberg.
Ratcham is on the Kimi Raikkonen program. Very economical with words. Fantastic.
Ye says, OMG, LOL, WTF, LOL, OMG, OMG, LOL, WTF, 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 OMG, LOL, WTF.
Beautiful. Devo, this race is best watched at 2x the speed with Benny Hill music in the background, especially on board with Kimi. What a climax.
From Chemix. Kimi says, leave me alone. I know where I'm go. Oh, shit.
Jackson, my prayers for a set puncture went unanswered.
Ye says, I forgot to add ROTFL for lap 55.
Great. Ledford, Kimi Raikkonen 10th. It was a busy race and we didn't have the pace we wanted all the time. There was certainly a lot going on. I went off at the last corner on lap 52 as I couldn't see well with my visor being dirty and fogged up. Where I went off, you can get back on the track by going through the support race pit lane, but you have to go through a gate. I know this as I did the same thing in 2001 and the gate was open that year. Somebody closed it this time. Next year, I'll make sure it's open again. Now, this looks like a comment from Kimi after 3 or 4 races. Way too long.
Lap Traffic says, Kimi was trying to use one of those Mario Kart shortcuts Bernie was proposing a few years ago. And there you have it. An outstanding set of comments from the forum. The forum is always exciting. Of course, now it will go into hibernation a little bit because people are dealing with the holidays and other activities. But like you said, we have Dakar coming up. We've got Daytona. We've got the beginning of the NASCAR season. We've got reruns. We can watch old film, Lap of the Gods. And we've got some great shows on Velocity, Renaissance Man with Alan Decadney, so on and so forth, Nasser.
Yeah, and what we will do in the remaining weeks of this year, we'll do a sort of a, like a, not only the championship review, but a champions review also, talk about a little bit about different drivers and major, you know, things happening in GP2, GP3, World Series by Renault, a lot of talent coming through. So we'll try to keep this thing exciting.
Absolutely. And we do recommend everybody to go to the forum and write 50 words on the entire season. So that way we will be reading those at the end of the season on the podcast. And of course, now Nasser wants to talk about, I thought he was telling me that I'm square, but I'm finally realized.
No, I know you're straight.
That he wants to talk about the calendar.
Yes, sir.
Faded Glory, Nass. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Thanks to Toby for putting this up, updating the websites on it. And the theme is Faded Glory. Great tribute to teams of the past. We have Jackie Stewart on the cover. Beautiful Tyrrell car from Österreichring. One of my old favorite tracks from Austria. Then we have Arrows and Cooper and Van Wall. Van Wall was the first Constructors World Champion. As always, a lot of puns with the captions, but a lot of factful, interesting information about this kind of stuff. And we have Shadow and you know, many other teams. So it's check it out on F1 Weekly.
Absolutely. It's going to be exciting. And if you flip through the pages really fast, it's actually me running. So it's pretty good stuff, but you really have to squint your eyes to see that. It's tough. But anyway, it's an outstanding calendar. I've already got 16 of them up in my bathroom simply as air fresheners because the pictures look so good. It freshens the air. So thank you, Nass. And of course, all you have to do is either email you if you don't have a PayPal account and you could work out something with Nasser, or you just go to the merchandise page and click on the cart button at the bottom of the page.
Yes, sir.
Super easy.
And ladies.
Thank you, Nass, and thanks everyone for listening to the program. Good night.
Thank you.